We got big things to talk about here on Take Back, and we have an agenda. As our planet faces global climate change, melting polar ice caps, and ocean acidification, we like to remain positive. There's hope. We're still alive. Here at Take Back, we plan to get deep into understanding these issues and ask big questions about what does it mean to be human? I mean, really, if we're dealing with such big environmental problems, a direct result of our behaviors, isn't it a good time to talk about community, education, and what we can do together to make a positive change happen collectively, making it good for everyone, especially our kids, the next generation? You know, each Tuesday here at Take Back at noon, we will have thinkers, poets, writers, educators, musicians, and environmentalists help us get it right and navigate this crazy journey called life. Maybe we'll get inspired to make some big changes, and we'll have fun and laugh too. Today, we anticipate David Herlocker, who is interpretive naturalist of Marin Open Space, to join us. He's running a bit late, so we're going to hold out for him and talk about Marin County's wild nature and all the things that we have here that we are so grateful for, and talk about the people who really make it happen for all of us to enjoy our wild spaces. But until he gets here, oh boy, do we have a lot of things to talk about. And I had promised last time I was on air to talk about my recent journey to Chicago. I went to the People's Summit, which was part of the launch of the Sanders Institute about 2 weekends ago in Chicago. And it was an event, a weekend long event, with Bernie and Jane Sanders, of course, along with a host of other people who are coming together on a level that was pretty gratifying for me to see and really instilled a great dose of hope about a direction that a number of people, and there were about 5,000 people at the event from across the country, from the Ozarks, from the Appalachia Mountains, as I was corrected to say, New York, California, all over our country, in order to begin a collective conversation about our country and the direction that it's going. And I'll tell you, it was incredibly inspiring to see how many young, bright people who are asking hard questions, like what we are trying to do on this show, about values in our country, about media, about environment, labor, healthcare, so many things, including history and how our history is written and how we learn history and what we want to see in our future. It was an incredible event. My favorite, I'll say, was probably one of my two favorite times during the weekend was Saturday night when the organization put together a Howard Zinn history night. Now, Howard Zinn wrote an incredible historic piece about our country from the narrative and perspective of the people who have been most disenfranchised, from the Native American perspective, from the women's perspective, from the African American perspective. And there were about 13 people lined up on stage, each giving saying either a poem or a speech or even singing a song about these different time periods through our American experience, starting off with an incredible guitarist, banjo player, not guitarist. It was a banjo. I always want to say guitar. I love the guitar. You know that. Banjo, with this huge screen behind him of that image that we are all too familiar with of the slave ships of mostly men all laying down on the bottom of a side of a ship in the storage, you know, side by side. And you look at that image, it's a sketch, and you can just imagine the terror and the filth and the struggle that these slaves, as they were purchased slaves, who were voyaging to the United States, must have endured. And the musician sang a song, and as he sang a song, we all looked at this image, and it really helped to set a tone about how these kind of experiences are often understated when we become a little too patriotic in our country. How else do you say it? It's a way of getting more grounded and to understand that, you know, boy, we're not always getting it right. So how can we get it right? And maybe one of the ways is to remember those stories of those struggles and to always remember that it's a continued struggle. Facebook. How can you not talk about Facebook on a show like this? So I was just right before the show going through my Facebook page, Barbara McVeigh, as I've been posting a few events that have been going on politically. And, you know, wow, are we just like right back at the beginning here? I mean, we're talk about slavery. This is a different kind of slavery, but it's a question, and this was actually a question at the summit too, of how enslaved have we been to consumerism? I mean, has it really been driving our narrative, driving our identity, really enslaving us into a capitalistic society where we will look at the guys who've got the most and somehow worship them, think that they're their heroes because they've made a lot of money, because they've got the big houses, because they've got wealth? Does that give them the right to have the power? And I just couldn't stop myself because I was, you know, thinking to myself and remembering back to when I was 13, and I talked about this on my very, very first show about Ronald Reagan. And when Reagan came into power 35 years ago, you know, he was this charismatic force. It was like, wow, here he comes. He's the hero. He's the Gipper. And I'm still trying to figure out what the Gipper or the Gupper is. I think it's an actor, It was a character that he played as an actor. And that's what he's known for. The Gipper, some heroic, I think he was a football player. Really? Really? Okay, let's go with that one. Anyway, here comes Ronald Reagan in with this knockout show of patriotism and bringing America back together again after Carter kind of screwed it up. Really? And Carter did say it is the moral equivalent of war to be independent of energy. And he had solar panels on the White House and 17,000 wind turbines in the state of California. And he made this great, great speech called The Moral Equivalent of War. It is the moral equivalent of war to be independent of energy, right? That's what he said, 1979. And Carter came in and called that speech meow. Really? And then he took the solar panels off the White House. He shut down the wind turbines. He pushed oil full-fledged back into our economy when we knew about global climate change. Really? And we fell for it. We fell for the Gipper. I mean, you got to think back at that and go, God, there are these people in the 1970s who had been spending their life taking a stand for nature, who were, you know, getting out there and, you know, the Oceanic Society, they started the EPA, the Energy Department, all these efforts in order to get us grounded. Do you remember that? Remember that commercial of the Native American standing on top of the hill, looking down at the traffic, and he had a tear in his eye? And he didn't even have to say anything. We saw it ourselves and said, wow, do you know how much influence that one commercial had? So this is when commercials were actually telling us something that we all needed to know and to be reminded of, you know? And what happened to that Native American? What happened to us? You know, and this is the thing. It happened on such a high-level power propaganda level that we got, I don't know, sabotaged? Or did we find it to be easy and we just stopped doing the hard work and, you know, went to the easy place, which where we've been for the last 35 years, you know, driving our cars and buying all sorts of things. The consumer level has been pretty, pretty wild and it keeps on going. And God, do I sound like a downer? God, I do. But it's really one of those things where you got to like embrace. And then when you do, just like Jimmy Carter said, you know, you are set free. You know, it's like look at it straight straight in the eye and then go, okay, now I know what I'm dealing with. Well, I do have some great news today, as I just discovered the other day. This is a big component of history that has been somehow we've been living in the shadow of it. And I'm talking about the Carter-Reagan transfer of power. And I'm going to say that we are at the end of the Reagan era. And I'm not the only one saying this. In fact, I am really excited to announce that there is a new film that is getting launched on June 30th called The Reagan Show. And this is a documentary film of all the archival imagery, no narrative, no voiceover, of the Reagan years. And apparently this documentary captures the pageantry, the absurdity, and the mastery of the made-for-TV politics of Ronald Reagan. Okay, do you think I'm going to watch that film? You got it. I think you should too. And what's even more pretty exciting about this is CNN has picked this up. And I think even invested in it. I could have that wrong, but I think they did. And they will be showing that on CNN, the film, the documentary film. So as I was told by the press people of this film, because of course, when I saw this, I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to get involved. I want to hear about this because I am so determined, just like many others, to demonstrate what the Reagan years have done to this country. Now, was Reagan a bad guy? Well, I don't know. We're all going to have to make that decision ourselves. But the one thing that became very, very clear, even at the People's Summit, is the idea of neoliberal policies, which Reagan pushed as a policymaker into our country. And those policies were talked about on such a high level at the People's Summit. In order for us to understand what policy, government policy, does to a country. And what came out of those conversations at the People's Summit and the neoliberal policies. So let me get this, so I'm explaining this correctly. The neoliberal policies, which we can just say the Reagan policies, affected economics, labor, environment, FCC rulings. The reason we have Fox News today is because of an FCC ruling that Reagan took away, in which journalists were required at one time in our history to have an offering of both sides of a story, not just one side, because when you just have one side, it becomes propaganda. Okay? And so, hello, 10 years after that ruling, what appears but Fox News, where you only get one side of the story. And after it's built on sensationalism and more, you begin to really question, well, what is it? Or are my fears being fed? Which when I watch it, I'll tell you, I get a little scared about the world. But is it news or is it a way of creating a story that isn't really a story in order to sell? So many things to talk about. Going back to the People's Summit, though, I was so enlivened to see that this conversation about Reagan and the policies that he instilled in our country 35 years ago are giving rise so we can understand what we have been doing as a country. Let's just talk about the environment. Yes, I have, and like you, have this incredible concern about the environment. I mean, if you really stop and ask yourself, wow, our oceans are acidifying. That is a fact. That's not an alternative fact. That is a real fact. We get most of our oxygen from the ocean, according to Dr. Sylvia and the top scientists of our world who have seen the dramatic effects on our ocean. Boy, if I'm getting my oxygen from the ocean and our oceans are acidifying, shouldn't I be a little worried about this? I mean, that's kind of a big deal, isn't it? I mean, those soccer games and football games and other things that are quite entertaining and make me feel really excited for a little while don't quite hold up to that little idea, in fact, that I tend to think about every day when I wake up and start breathing the oxygen. I mean, like, what are you doing right now? Are you breathing? I mean, I'm trying to breathe while I'm talking so fast because I got a lot to say. Back to the People's Summit. I'll tell you, it was an event that weekend to see how many people are coming together in order to start creating, rewriting a new narrative for our country. And I do believe that Bernie Sanders and the things that he's standing for and trying to take a stand for are words and ideas that are going to lead us in a very powerful direction. And it's just not him, though. It was this incredible community of young people who were incredibly smart. And you know what they had in their hands? Microphones. They are creating their own media stations because they're looking at mainstream media and going, okay, I'm not getting the information from the right. I'm not getting it from the left. I mean, everybody is just kind of in this crazy zone right now. Why don't we just create our own? And that's what they are doing. And as a result, you know, more and more truths are beginning to emerge, which is a good thing because I'll tell you, I was on my Facebook page just the other day, and I was wondering if I might be able to play this. Now, I hate talking bad about people because, you know, everybody has an offering to give, right? And even like the worst people in our lives and the things that they put us through, well, if we can step away from our own anger and disgust in that, right? And that happens to all of us, and I hopefully we don't throw it out ourselves. Try not to. You can learn from that. And you can say, well, I can either resist, which is one of the things that a lot of people are doing, or I can create a new story. So I'm going to play this speech. This is, yeah, here it is. This was off the Trump page. And this is Trump speaking. And I hope he speaks well enough. And the time that he is not speaking, I'm going to talk through what he is doing. But he is basically getting rid of environmental reports for builders. So let's just play this and see what happens.
One of the biggest obstacles to creating this new and desperately needed infrastructure, and that is the painfully slow, costly, and time-consuming process of getting permits and approvals to build. And I also knew that from the private sector. It is a long, slow, unnecessarily burdensome process. My administration is committed to ending these terrible delays once and for all. They spent $29 million for an environmental report weighing 70 pounds and costing $24,000 per page. And I said, do me a favor, I'm going to make a speech in a little while. Do you mind if I take that and show it? So I'm going to show it.
So, you know, he's now got a bunch of environmental reports, which, you know, okay, he does have a point. They are pretty big and cumbersome, and he's just tossing them into the garbage, and everybody's clapping and saying, yay, rebuild America's
We will build again.
Yeah, here he goes.
We will grow again. We will thrive again. And we will make America great again.
And here comes the fantastic music to say, isn't that wonderful? Okay, so let's just talk about this. Okay, here's Trump. Here he is taking away our environmental efforts. Hey, builders, just go build. Who cares about the environment? I mean, shouldn't that be kind of a question? I mean, where is his integrity about the environment? And how is it that other countries, like I think it was Paraguay or Uruguay, God, I wish I had call-ins because you could tell me this. They actually have a person in their government agency now who will stick up for the environment like it is a person. It is a person. Like the environment is a person. And actually, I would say it's a really big person because it kind of, you know, we kind of rely on nature in order to breathe, in order to walk on the ground, in order to do pretty much anything, feed ourselves. Climb a tree? I mean, I need to climb a tree. I mean, that's just kind of the essence of life. And why? What is this guy doing? But the crazy thing about this is what we have been down this road before. Back 1979, 1980. You know, here we have an energy crisis. Carter's trying to get us off oil. He's trying to get us onto sustainable energy. This really happened. And then this thug called Reagan comes in with his patriotic banners and saying, I'm going to make America great again, and pushes fuel back into our economy, full throttle. We're all stuck on cars. Talk about slavery. And here we are again. But see, the stakes are higher now because our oceans are acidifying, melting polar ice caps. Like there's this other huge thing that's going to drop into the Arctic Ocean. It's a big, big iceberg the size of Delaware. Hello, when do we wake up? And when, okay, who's this other guy who's saying, oh, it has nothing to do with people. This is a natural course of action. Okay, I don't know about you, but I can't even keep up with all of these absurd, crazy ideas. Oh yeah, here it is. Energy Secretary Rick Perry, thumbs up, says CO2 is not the main driver of climate change. Okay, we have been talking about this issue since the 1970s. And actually, there's been some reports that that actually happened before. So how is it that the rich guys who are controlling the oil and controlling the big businesses are telling us information, which is completely counter to the scientists who kind of know what's going on and are making their life of that and about that? How is that happening? I don't know. And I, oh, yeah, okay. And then here's another one. Here's another one. I don't know. How does it go? Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter's back in the picture again. Thank God, Jimmy Carter, you are still alive. I mean, I want to be able to honor that man. What he told us 35 years ago when he said, you know, stop judging people for what they have, maybe what they do in life, which is about David Herlocker, who's still not here. I hope he's okay. We're going to try to get in touch with him. I'll ask my assistant producer if she can contact David Herlocker. And if he doesn't come today for some reason, we know we will have him on the show. Because David Herlocker is one of those people in the world who does so much for everybody. You know, he speaks for the environment. He takes a stand for it and teaches the rest of us how valuable it is. And it's not just about the big trees and the beaches, but it's about all this other, the tiniest bits of wildlife. Bits. There's probably a better word for that. That help us understand the complexities of nature and the interrelationship of it. And the moment you take away an environmental area, be it a building or, you know, a parking lot, for God's sakes, or whatever it is, you take that away for good. I mean, you're killing that patch of land. And God knows what could have been thriving. What could have been living on that, and what it could mean for us. And we're getting rid of that, as Donald Trump is intended to do, on such a fast pace that those acts that we're making today are going to be the consequences our children experience. Yeah, so Jimmy Carter, in an article in TheIntercept.com just recently, says the U.S. is an oligarchy with unlimited political bribery. I mean, this is nice Jimmy Carter, who usually tries to say nice things about people. It's an oligarchy. And isn't this the same thing that's happening once again? It's this blast of energy of politicians, big money, and just really taking over the landscape of our country. And I'm not talking about landscape, I'm talking about political landscape, social landscape. And we're not asking the hard questions that we need to ask, or we're not doing it on a level that we need to. Oh yeah, here's another one. Scott Pruitt, EPA completes purge of scientists from its scientific advisory board. Thank you, Scott Pruitt. Who needs scientists anyway? Really? I mean, I like to write fiction, and I'm not sure I could come up with something this good. Okay, so we've gotten rid of all the scientists from the Environmental Protection Agency. Who needs them? They're just full of bad news anyway. Yeah, and then we've got oligarchies. We're talking about oligarchies. Jimmy Carter, he is a good guy. In fact, you know what? Jimmy Carter, during his presidency, and this is true, never shot a missile, a rocket, or fired a bullet. Look that up. Yep. Young people are coming into the know about this. I got to remember his name. It was one of these new media groups. I got to find it. I'll tell you next week. And he, you know, these young people are going, who's this Jimmy Carter? Everyone said that he was kind of this weak guy, this dumb guy, blah, blah, blah. And then they're beginning to realize the brilliance, this man's brilliance. The guy had so much wisdom. We were the dumb ones. We didn't listen. We're listening now, Jimmy. Do you hear us? I do want to talk to that man. If any one of you has a way of me getting in touch with Jimmy Carter, please let me know, because I want to tell that man how brilliant he was. And we weren't listening then, but we are listening to it now. He warned us of that right-wing radical, Reagan. And that has been the course that we have been on for 35 years. Okay, and now we got evangelical Jerry Falwell Jr. to head the Trump Education Task Force. This comes from Reuters.com. I still like to believe Reuters is a good source of news. Really, we got evangelicals running the education task force. Now, I don't want to say that I'm not a spiritual person, because I am highly spiritual. I do believe in the good. I believe in deep things. And I tell you, I feel I've had experiences in life to make sure that I believe in those things on a deep level. But anytime somebody else tries to push their spirituality on me, I'm going to say, I don't think so. Give me my temples. Give me my trees and my rocks and my, what else? Trees, rivers, oceans. These are my temples. Yeah. I don't know. David Herlocker still isn't here, guys. Well, if David Herlocker isn't here, then I just get to talk about him. David Herlocker, who was our guest today, and I'm sure he's out there trying to find our station. We're nestled in this little tiny building away from everyone. And as I like to remind people, I am in a padded room behind locked doors. So who really is the crazy one? Me in here talking my mind, or people out there driving around frenetically? I always like to wonder. But David Herlocker, and the reason I wanted him on the show today is because this man, to me, represents an ideology, a way of working, a way of looking at the world that he lives by and does for work that can really teach all of us something very powerful about nature, community, and stewardship. And I'm going to come back to this. I'm going to take a short break. And when I do come back, we are going to talk about David Herlocker, Marin County Open Space, and this incredible model that we have here in Marin County that has really set a standard, I believe, for other communities to bear witness to how we can protect our local lands and build community and really remind ourselves of our duty. Okay, well, on that note, we're going to take a short break here and listen to some music. My name is Barbara McVeigh. I'm with Take Back Radio at 102.3 FM, radio.dominican.edu. I'm broadcasting from Dominican University of California. And let's listen to some California Dreamin'. It is the 50th anniversary of the Summer of Love. And this is some great music by the Mamas and the Papas. So stay tuned, and I will be back, and we'll be talking David Herlocker and Marin County Open Space.
All the leaves are brown, and the sky is gray. Passed along the way. Well, I got down on my knees and I pretend to pray. You know the preacher liked the cold,
I didn't tell her I could leave today. California dreaming on such a winter's day.
Was California Dreamin' by the Mamas and the Papas. Oh, I love that song. The Mamas and the Papas. Great band and great tunes for the 50th anniversary of the Summer of Love here in California. And speaking of California, before we talk about David Hurlocker, it's amazing to think that we live in this incredible state that has incredible values and really taking a stand for the environmental work that we have been doing in this state. And also here in Marin County, you know, you stop and you realize how many people we have in this county alone who are doing great work. Paul Hawken, you know, he has this new book out about a plan to actually curb global climate change, a book that he wrote, edited, the group of, 100 scientists from around the planet. And then we have, you know, Dr. Sylvia Earle, who's down in the South Bay, who is leading the charge for ocean acidification and bringing awareness globally to what's going on and in our oceans. I mean, it's amazing, right? And then we have Romberg-Tiburon Center, the only research center, water center, that is here in the San Francisco Bay Area. And they too are hosting and offering many different events in order for us to understand what's going on environmentally that affect all of us. So we should be incredibly grateful. But the one person that I really wanted to also bring light to is a man named David Hurlocker. He's an interpretive naturalist, and he works with Marin County Open Space. It is a gem, what we have here. In fact, Marin County Open Space is a government agency that we all pay for that takes care of the open spaces around our county, the trails, community parks. It's an extensive system of regional and community areas. And it has two different divisions, the parks and the landscape division. And it's made up of these incredibly committed professionals, all serving programs and operations, maintaining planning, resource management, landscape architecture, communications, environmental education, volunteers, and more. So I got to know David Hurlocker when my kids were young. I had heard about this group of people hiking up in the hills. And, you know, I wasn't working. I was trying to watch my money and be really careful with all that that we had. And so I took my daughter, Maya, up into the hills to meet David Hurlocker and a small group that he had going up into the along a trail. And I'm trying to remember where it was at the time. It might have been about down by over by Stafford Lake. It could have been any number of our trails. And it wasn't so much where it was. It was seeing this guy, David Hurlocker, with so much passion, really sharing what he loved about our nature. And I remember the moment I said, you know what, there's something magical about this guy. We're walking along this trail. No, we weren't walking. We were meandering, which is even more, it was slowly exploring. That's it. Slowly exploring this trail here in Marin County. And he would stop at the berry bush on one side. And then he would stop at the grasses on the other. And then he would find a snake, and then he would find a Jerusalem beetle, and then he would find a spider living in the hills. And everything that he discovered, and I swear the animals came to him, the insects and the animals. He's like, who is that? That all, well, they're all the Mary Poppins. No, it wasn't Mary Poppins. But, you know, one of those figures where life just comes to him. And then he just shares this incredible knowledge. And it's not even knowledge, but they're like stories. They're like almost like personal stories about all of this life that we have around us. And there was this one moment where I said, oh, this man is up to something big. He found something like nestled behind a rotting log, and he goes over to it, and we're all down below. We're watching him, and he stands up and he says, look at this. It's a cowboy handkerchief mushroom. A cowboy handkerchief mushroom. Now, this was this white mushroom that was full of, like gunk and like, you know, like slime. And he was holding it, not by his fingers, but it was like sticking to the palm of his hand. And he raised it up in the air and he said, look, this is a, and I'm going to try to say it, Hygrophorus eburneus, also known as a cowboy handkerchief. And he gave this whole story about how this mushroom is ivory wax cap, and it's this edible species, and it's a wax scale family of fungi, and it's widespread in Europe and North America, and da 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 da, and its fruit bodies are medium sized, pure white. And he just starts going off about how this slime thick mushroom is so amazing. And we bought it. And we just sat there and went, wow, we didn't know so much about that mushroom. We would have walked right by it. And that's the kind of guy he is. He just finds this like magic everywhere. So another favorite one of mine, there we were walking along a creek near the creek, and he finds this dead Jerusalem beetle. Some people call them potato bugs. They're like, they're really, really ugly. And they're like the size of like, I don't know, like a big man's thumb, something like that. And they've got these little crawling legs with, you know, little digger fingernail kind of things that dig in the earth, because that's what they do. They burrow down into the ground, and these really weird eyes. I mean, they're really ugly. If you came across one of these and you didn't know, you would think that it was going to like eat you alive if it were bigger. It's ugly. But then again, it's not. Because the way David Herlocker was able to describe this thing, it just gave this whole new magical appeal to what these insects are capable of doing in our environment, and how integral they are, how important they are to the life cycle of, what was it called, the horsetail worm. Okay, how exciting is that? But then how that worm lives within the beetle, and it has this whole natural cycle together, a symbiotic relationship that has to work together. Otherwise, one or the other completely fails. And that how that's tied to other animals and insects, and how the food chain just goes up and up, and not even up, I'm going to say expands wider and wider, and how all these creatures are essential as part of our wild spaces. You know, and you sit there and you marvel at that like a child again. And I think that's what he was able to do, is even us grown-ups, we were becoming children again and going, wow, that's pretty amazing. You know, and to me, what I was learning was that this is what education is about. You know, I can't tell you all the facts of exactly the horsetail worm and its life cycle and all of this stuff. And maybe that's important to some people, and that's fine. But to me, what I walked away from was this incredible sense of awe and magic about what we have right in our hills, right above our houses, right above the shopping centers and more. You know, and I really marveled at this and what he was able to do. There was another day. So he and his assistant, Shannon Burke, who is also incredible and leading walks, herself. These are free walks that we have here in our county. Free. Did I say that loud enough? They are free walks. And the most powerful walks you could go on right here in our county. And so there we are walking along this little beautiful fern trail, and you know, you got the trees and you got a babbling brook, and you're feeling, ah, oh, how wonderful it is. And then David jumps up and goes, oh my God, there's a spider. You know, and how excited should you get about that? Well, this is the thing. They were everywhere, these spiders. You just couldn't see them. So he brings us to the side of a mountain. It was actually an area that had been kind of manipulated. It was not a natural site. It was like, you know, maybe like a bulldozer. When a bulldozer goes through and then creates the side of a hill nearby, it's been kind of disheveled and thrown around. Well, apparently in this particular case, that was kind of the deal. And moss had grown all over it because it was in the shadows and there were ferns around it. It was like trying to come back and grow again with natural habitat. And David was looking at it like really close, like with a little spectacle, like a little, you know, what do you call it? A magnifying glass. And we're all scrunched up to the side of the mountain trying to understand what he's looking at. And then he said, watch this. And what does he do? He takes this little tiny piece of moss and like opens it up like a trap door. Now we're talking about the size of like a penny, a little door made of moss the size of a penny. And he opens it up and he says, watch this. And he does. And what comes out but a little spider? And those are called trap door spiders. And that's what they do. They burrow themselves into these, into the side of the hill, and then they create these doors. And what happens is they feel the vibration on the outside of the door, and they open up their door, they snatch up their little victim and bring them into their house and dine. I mean, that's pretty darn cool. But that was what David was able to do. He was able to help us reshape that way that we walk, even not even focused on the top of the mountain. Who cares about the top of the mountain? It was about looking at the awe and wonder that we have around us. Okay. So David Herlocker, his knowledge of mushrooms and fungi and just the diversity that we have around us, the edibles and the non-edibles, I mean, all of it, the colors and the textures, to the plants, to the berries, to the coyote bushes and what the soap root meant to the indigenous people, our local Miwoks, it totally opens up your whole lens of the power of nature that we have around us. And, you know, this was even true for me. I mean, here I am with my young kids and I go, wow, this is pretty darn cool. And what do? Is I start teaching a nature program because I got so wildly excited about what he was teaching. You know, and that opened up my eyes. And then it was like, oh my gosh, did you know that the buckeyes, you know, those things that grow on trees from the buckeye tree, you know, you can actually make things from them, or you can take the oak galls and you can make ink. And that ink is what actually was used to sign the Declaration of Independence. I kid you not. Really, really, that happened. So, you know, all of these really, really cool things that were around us and that we got to discover. So, wow, David's going to have to come back because we're going to have to talk to him about this. Let's talk about Marin County Open Space. Marin County Parks is another way of calling it. We are so blessed here in Marin County to have the Marin Open Space because what we are able to experience in this county, and I'll say it, probably my most favorite summer was a summer where I did not travel at all. I stayed completely in Marin County and joined these walks that Marin County Space offers. And if you'd go to Marin County Open Space, yeah, just Google it, right? You'll discover this incredible lineup of this summer, a calendar of events that they offer for free, not only to kids and families like what I got to experience when I was raising my kids, but also for adults. And if there's anything that will open your eyes to what we have and the magic that we have around us, these walks will do it. For example, I mean, this is what we have. On July 9th, this is for families, kids, you can join a ranger from 9 to 11 on a hike on the beautiful Terwilliger Trail at Stafford Lake Park. There you can enjoy the watershed from the upper sections of the trail and discuss the flora and the fauna found in the various habitats along the way. And this is an event that is available for all age groups. Now, there are other hikes that are adult-only oriented, not to, you know, negate the kids or anything, but, you know, kids have their own special needs, and let's face it, we adults need our time too. And what you'll discover is that these hikes actually draw in some world-renowned botanists. I remember one event that I went to was an adult-only hike, and you can find these hikes listed on Marin County Open Space. And I was sitting there, and I was kind of new at this, and I was watching people, you know, just get so excited about this one particular flower or this particular kind of rock or this particular kind of grass. And they were so knowledgeable. And it was like this vast amount of knowledge and wonder that I knew nothing about. And I remember this one full-grown man. Oh, this was a good one. Full-grown. Actually, he was really big and kind of, I'm going to say, you know, his shirt was untucked and, you know, he had these big, thick spectacles on. And we were talking, David was talking about this particular flower. Let's see if I can remember it. It was called a vanilla something flower. And he said that it actually smells like vanilla. And I remember this man getting so excited. He was full grown, probably 40s or 50s. He like struggled to get down on his hands and knees. Swear to God, there he is. And I'm watching this man get down on his hands and knees, put his nose to the ground and went, wow, that smells like vanilla. You know, and he was so excited about it. And I'm sitting there going, wow, it is such the little things in life that can get us so excited, right? And yeah, so, you know, Marin County Open Space, in fact, the website marincountyparks.org. Another event that is coming up in celebration of our nation's birthday. Hey, there you go. This is a good one. You can see the Marin County Fair fireworks. I'm not sure how environmental that is, but anyway, here you go. At the top of the Nike site at McInnes Park. And this is the night where the fireworks start for the Marin County Fair. Yay, how excited are we for that? And the Rangers, no way. They are going to prepare s'mores at Hillside Picnic Area right before the fireworks show. It's for all ages, dress in layers, July 1st. Bring a flashlight. Friendly dogs are welcome. Okay, I'd say that that's pretty darn welcoming. But that's not the only thing that's going on. I mean, these are all fun things where you get to come and participate and enjoy. But then there's also something else that is something for us to think about. And I've got some stories on this one, too. They lead restoration projects. There are two specific ones that they talk about a lot. Marin County Parks talks about Kent Island and Aramburu. They're both islands and areas where you can participate in restoring and learn how to restore land, getting rid of the non-native species, how to create a space that is safe for the native species of both land, of both animals and plants. And why is that exciting? Well, I'll tell you why it's exciting, because that is when you really get connected to our land. I used to do this even with my kids. Actually, Kite Hill, also called Horse Hill, right over in Mill Valley. We used to go out and spend a day. And how fun is that for kids, shoveling dirt and digging up things? I remember finding a bunch of Jerusalem beetles. How exciting was that? And really giving a sense of giving back, giving back to our community, because really the reality is that these areas cannot thrive without our participation, you know? And this is something that we get to experience and get to share and get to learn from. Marin County Open Space, look it up. There are a host of events coming up all summer long. And if we all gave back on a level that we take, can you imagine how this world would be? Well, David Herlocker's not coming today, but that's okay because we got to talk about him and share all about who he is and what he's been doing for our community. He did win the 2016 Terwilliger Environmental Award, and we're going to share this report with him and just let him know how much we care about him. And let's go see him ourselves at the Marin County Open Space Walks and just remind him of what an incredible individual he is in our community. And maybe he'll inspire us to get more active and care about our local lands. Because if we don't take care of them, they don't take care of us. I like to remember that. All right, you have been listening to Penguin Radio 102.3 FM or worldwideradio.dominican.edu. I'm your host, Barbara McVeigh. We have had a great show here talking about the Bernie Sanders, the People's Summit in Chicago. We've been talking about the EPA, Reagan, politics, and environment. And I hope you've been inspired enough to ask yourself, what can I do today, if not tomorrow, to help get our world back together again? All right, I'm your host, Barbara McVeigh. I look forward to seeing you again next week at 12 o'clock. A big thank you to Stuart Horn, Executive Director of Penguin Radio, and to the listeners here at Dominican University of California and all of you abroad. We hope you've enjoyed the show, and we will see you next week.